This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep, even you. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, heavy breathing and hairy bears.
Hey, Sleepy, the movie's over.
Kanye steals things.
NASA brought a dude home.
Donald Trump is a Civ 5 guy now.
Oh no. Bin Laden's wife had a magic tooth.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Satan has 6 gold teeth above, 6 gold teeth below, and of course we know those are numbers of the beast.
Were you rocking out?
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this very pleasant TMS for Wednesday, the 2nd of March, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hi, Scott, and all you fine people out there.
It's so nice to see them, isn't it?
They're
smiling, happy, shiny people.
That one right there is frowning.
Oh, well,
I don't think there's anything we can do about that.
Let's turn that frown upside down.
I think
downtown.
It just might be bitchy resting face.
No, actually. It could be that. I have that, you know. That's a thing I have, and I'm constantly reminded that I have. People think I'm pissed, especially when I'm prepping the show and early chat room. People are like, "What's wrong with Scott? Is he having a bad day?" I'm like, no, I just have bitchy resting face.
You know who else has bitchy resting face?
Who?
Better Call Saul's girlfriend.
Oh. You know what? I'm behind. I need to watch this new season, don't I?
Well, you saw her in the first season.
Did I? Oh,
blonde,
yeah.
Blonde lawyer lady.
You're right. You're right. She totally has bitching resting face. She totally does. You know who doesn't, oddly enough, is...
The guy that Mark Ruffalo played in Spotlight.
That too. And freaking Mike Ehrmantraut from the Breaking Bad and
Better Jonathan
Call
Banks.
Yeah, he has a nice, even though he is
bored resting face, apathetic resting face.
He doesn't give a shit. Anyway, we're glad to be back. Yesterday was kind of a weirdness day, but the show did go up. I posted it and people saw it, I assume, but it was kind of late when that happened, so I apologize for that being up so stinking late. Yesterday, but I went to see The Revenant with the boy, Nick and I. Mm-hmm. It was something he wanted to see real bad, and I wanted to go too. And as you know, he is under the age of 17 and therefore restricted from a movie such as The Revenant. And I said, you know, let's go. Father-son time. Let's get in there. Let's sit down. Let's get some popcorn.
It's a good father-son movie, actually, because there's father and son themes in The Revenant.
Big time. Deep ones. Yeah. I agree. And
I would say the primary motivation for the main character.
The entire thread of the film, you might say, is a father-son tale. A dark one at that. And anyway, we decided to do that. And as usual, our fashion is to sit down and make fun of all the commercial things they show before trailers.
Right.
And then to talk about whether or not we think the trailers were cool. And the nice thing about seeing a movie that's been in the theater this long is that you're in there with very few people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still reserved seating where I go, so it's kind of useless, but yes, you reserve a seat. For good or ill, I kind of started to feel like you a little bit, because some weird people sat around us.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Good.
And I wonder if it's about, like, opening weekend, I feel like there are less weirdos, maybe?
No.
Isn't that not true?
No, okay. You just get the impatient weirdos.
So you're... the tone of your reply just now says everything you need to know about Brian... and his haunted movie going. He was like, no, they're just...
just resigned. Yeah. Just resigned to it.
Yep, with your Mike Ehrmantraut face as you said it. Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. But The Revenant, that's a great movie. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. I'm very impressed and I really had a great time. And I kind of see why... like, I was kind of dismissing the fact that Iñárritu got the director thing
Alejandro.
2 years. But he's really good.
He is really good.
Like, it's a pretty definitive vision in that movie. You know?
Well, and it's a movie where all the, you know, the direction has to, or the directing has to come through in the actions, right? There's very little dialogue. So he's got to pull emotion and language and communication out of his actors without them using dialogue.
And he doesn't believe in quick cuts. He believes in sweeping the camera around and and doing it in a very different way, which I found extremely compelling and not gimmicky.
Right.
It was fantastic. It's also a really great example, as was Fury Road this year, of practical effects mixed with digital to the point that you don't really know where one ends and one starts. Like it's just a very subtle touch. And so I walked away with this. I think it's a very close toss up. You give the best director to either him or George Miller. I don't really fault them now that I've seen this for picking him, because I think those two are right up there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cinematography. I can't believe I'm going to say this. It deserved it.
Wow.
It's really, really good. Like every scene was starkly gorgeous. Like just him walking through trees, weird moonlight through those same trees, freaking weird icy landscapey business.
Yeah.
Just insane.
Oh yeah, right. The whole
beautiful.
Yeah, coming up out of the river and coming across the Indian with a fresh kill.
Yep, all that stuff was just intense.
The gorgeous like scenery behind him and just the lighting and stuff. That was really, really good. I forgot about that.
It feels like every scene could have been freeze-framed and made into a nice wallpaper.
Yeah, right. And come with El Capitan.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give it to them. They deserved that award.
Wow.
Yeah, they did. And look, that doesn't diminish what I think about the cinematography in Mad Max, which I think was also excellent. But this deserved it. It was really pretty. Is it better than Fury Road is the question. No, well, the answer is no. Of course it's not. Nothing is this year.
Right.
Everything paled. This was a great movie, and I really liked it. And I'd put it in my top three movies of the year. But, it's not Fury Road. Come on now.
Wait till you see Spotlight and The Big Short.
Yeah, I'm going to see those. Then I'll let you know. I mean, they're obviously very different films, and so they can easily be in their own top 10 list. But if I had to compare them all, I want to see them before I make a judgment. Mm-hmm. But as it stands right now, so far as I chip away at these, Fury Road still standing tall above the rest. And I'm a little bit now, I haven't seen Bridge of Spies, so I can only assume that Mark Rylance is amazing, because if they didn't give it to Tom Hardy for The Revenant, holy shit, he must have been good. And
Mark Rylance was fantastic and well deserved. It was a field of people who really deserved the supporting actor Oscar. I mean, I guess I can't speak to Stallone because I haven't seen Creed yet, but Mark Rylance is fantastic.
All right.
I mean, the chemistry between Tom Hanks and Mark Rylance, not romantic chemistry, but their on-screen relationship chemistry is just amazing. And
so you're saying they do it in the movie is what you're saying.
Oh, I didn't want to spoil it for you.
Shoot.
But,
all right.
They do it right there on the bridge.
I'm going to rent it this weekend and I'll let you know my thoughts. But I was so impressed with Tom Hardy in this. There's there's a scene a little bit mid movie where he's around a fire with that guy he took with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just having this conversation, and he is doing things with his face that makes other actors look like shit.
Right.
Like, I don't know what's going on with that guy. I'm telling you right now, this isn't just my bias and my man crush, which I've admitted to. I'm both biased and have a man crush on Tom Hardy, and have since Star Trek Insurrection.
I don't think that's coming to a surprise to anyone listening.
No,
to the
probably
show.
Not. But I felt this way since Star Trek Nemesis, his first film.
Wow.
And the first time I saw him, I thought he was something else. And I knew then, ooh, we're not done with him yet.
Destined for greatness.
Oh, yeah. There's more to come. And now I've seen this and I just think, how is he not winning everything? And how did he have a year like this? He's in two of the biggest movies of the year, critically speaking, Mad Max and this. He knocks it acting-wise out of the park in this. Mm-hmm. He's also in that other thing where he plays the twin gangsters, which apparently is not a great movie, but he's really great in it. And he's in some other third thing. And in all of these things, the third or fourth thing, he's playing somebody so different that he just sinks into these roles like you don't even know it's him half
the time.
That's
exactly right. That was the situation with Peaky Blinders, and for me, Inception and Dark Knight, is that I had to be told that was Tom Hardy.
Yeah. He's crazy that way. It's so weird how he sinks into these roles. And I just feel like he's the dude to beat for the next 10 years. Like, he's your guy to get like every award ever. So watch for that, in my opinion. Also, there's a lot of heavy breathing in this movie. Something I noticed.
It's all grunting. Yeah, it's
grunting and breathing. Breathing and grunting. It even ends with some breathing, even.
Yeah.
The bear is amazing. I didn't know what to expect from the bear. You know, all the memes and the funny talk about the bear.
Yeah.
I knew it'd be a scene and it'd be interesting, but I didn't know. Like, I don't know what magic they're pulling off there. Like, that's just, I don't know
right.
how they
no,
did
the
that.
Special effects.
Unbelievable.
Really are, yeah.
New bar, everybody. Yeah. Bar's been raised. See that bar over there? It's up some now. Because if that was all, I assume that was all CGI. If it is.
It has to be.
If it is, good Lord. Like, it didn't have, it was seamless.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
seamless.
It certainly wasn't a guy in a bear costume, and it certainly wasn't a bear with a non-human, with a stand-in Leo. Fake rubber doll human kind of thing, right? I mean, there's only a few ways you can do it, and it has to be CGI.
Yeah. Isn't it really impressive? Like, I want to see the Blu-ray and see how they did all that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. And then thirdly, I thought they smelled bad on the outside, these horses. Just kidding.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little Tauntaun moment there.
Yeah, for sure. Don't want to give that away, but that's the part my daughter's going to hate the most when she sees the film, so yeah. That'll be good. And then, you know, Brian, if you're looking for a good night's sleep, might I recommend removing the guts of a horse, getting naked, and then sleeping inside the carcass of that horse?
Sure, that's a good recommendation. I can't wait for the inevitable Think Geek sleeping bag, the Revenant sleeping bag.
How is that not already out?
Well, they have one for Tauntauns.
All right, that's true. Gleason. Doomnall Gleason, however you say his name.
Dom Knoll.
General Nux. Nux. Nux? Nux.
Oh, right.
Nux? Nux. From Star Wars. The episode 7. Is it Nux? Right. It's Nux. N-U-X.
Domhnall Gleeson. Yeah, I know what you're saying, because there's an M-H-N in there.
Yeah, it's
you don't
weird.
Often see M-H-N.
No, you don't.
Domhnall.
But he was Nux in
Domhnall.
Domhnall. It's a dumb name. Dumb name Gleeson.
There you go. Perfect.
I love his dad. His dad's an amazing actor. I think he's great, but he is in everything, man. I didn't know he was in this. I went in there totally
not
knowing
that.
I didn't
know he was in this either until you just said that.
He's the captain guy. He's the only other good person in the entire movie.
Dude, he was in, I just realized this, he was in Force Awakens, obviously. He was in Ex Machina, of course.
Yeah.
We knew that.
Yeah.
Revenant and Brooklyn.
Yeah. That guy's insane. He's working more than anybody right
and
now.
And Unbroken.
Yeah.
And a couple Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows movies.
Yeah.
And True Grit.
Yeah.
And Dread.
All things.
My gosh.
He's in all things.
You'd think in all this time he would just change his name.
And his
make
dad.
It easier for people
his dad, Paul. Boy, that's a
no,
hard
no,
one.
No, 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 no. Brendan Gleeson.
Or Brendan, we're sorry. Brendan. Yeah.
Paul Gleeson is.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong guy.
But was Principal Vernon in Breakfast Club.
Sorry, I meant Brendan. But Brendan is so easy to say.
Yeah, Brendan.
Why not pass that down to your son? Give him a name you can say, not Doomnall, whatever it is. Because he's becoming very, in quick order, one of the more bigger faces you're seeing in films right now. So good for him. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so while we're at the movie, great time, having fun, popcorn, yeehaw, right?
Yes.
Guy behind us fell asleep, and his wife took forever to get him to wake up, and she kept poking him. So he falls asleep, and she's just like, honey, come on, you're missing it, honey, kept saying that through the whole movie.
Oh, hold on, I'm gonna give you a link. One
okay.
sec.
Give me a link.
I'm giving you a link on Skype.
I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let you finish. But this
I'm gonna
link,
let you finish. I didn't want you to get too far on that, but here we go.
Okay, I'm clicking it. Here goes.
30 seconds.
I've been called most things. Domhnall is quite a big one. Domhnall, if you're Alejandro Iñárritu. There was a article last week that said the rapid rise of downhill Gleeson, which I found kind of interesting. That my agent sent me. But it's Donal is how I pronounce my name.
Donal,
which is
Donal.
Like tonal, but with a D instead of a T, and the M is just there to confuse Americans.
He's awesome. And he's got
that's
that
why
cool
he's
hair,
in all things.
And he's like, my dad is Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movies.
That's right. And
that's great.
Dude from In Bruges.
I hope they're proud of their boy. He seems to be doing just fine. He looks a little wimpy in that video, though. He's a little sickly.
Well, a little scrawny dude.
Yeah. Won't eat any meat or something weird like that. anyway, What's the point? Oh, guy fell asleep. She kept poking him. That bugged me. But that's fine. I can live with that. He also kicked my chair a couple of times. Dude, the whole theater's open. Go sit somewhere else. It's no big deal.
So she was like, was she saying anything to try and wake him up or just kind of poking him?
Yeah, she kept going, honey, wake up. This part is a good part. Wake up.
Oh, jeez.
Here comes another big part. She kept doing that. So I don't know why that guy was even there.
Hey, get a decent night's sleep before you go see movies, okay? We shouldn't have to tell you this.
And then a guy on my row, just to my right, kept telling his wife, trying to convince her to sit through the credits because there was a stinger at the end he heard about.
No, really?
For real. So he goes, no, we can't leave yet. And I'm hearing this thinking, well, I know there's not a stinger, and I know I can get up and go right now.
Yeah.
But I want to see this guy through. I want to see what happens when he gets to the end and there is no stinger.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So for us, the stinger was waiting for this guy to find out there's no stinger.
There was comedy at the end of the movie for you, but yeah, not for the other guy.
Yeah. So we stayed around and he kept waiting and waiting and waiting. He goes, oh, I could have sworn somebody said there's a stinger at the end of this. And I was just stifling my laughter because I'm like, of course there isn't. This is like a big artistic freaking Oscar movie. What Professor X going to wheel out with a bear?
It's going to be Birdman is going to show up. Michael Keaton's going to.
The whole thing turned out to be a big, it's just a big ruse. You know, I still haven't seen that movie, but I know enough about it to say that sure is a big different. That's a very different film year to year, isn't it, for him?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's just crazy. But that's when you know you got a good director, when you can change gears like that and make two completely different movies year over year. Anyway, it was great. I loved it. I thought it was really, really awesome. And it's right up there with Fury Road, but not quite. Not quite. All right, Brian got Overwatch, and I know he didn't want me to talk about this, but I want to bring it up because that means today at 4 o'clock during the 4 o'clock Scott segment on Twitch.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, frogpants.com/Twitch, 4 p.m. today. Brian and I will stream us playing Overwatch. Voices,
with
game,
Nicole
and all.
Nicole Spagnuolo, too.
Oh, I didn't know she had access. Did she get in?
Got access, too. Yeah, she got it before I did. She got it last week.
Oh, lovely. All right. Yeah, I'm noticing a lot more people getting it this last week or two. So that'd be lovely. Let's all three of us get in there and perhaps more. We'll see if we can form a full team.
Wow.
And we can all use their little in-game chat thing and kick ass.
I'm calling 76 right now. I'm calling. I want to be 76.
You can be Patriot him 76. All you want to do. You can be him all you want.
Because I hear he's really good for beginners.
He's not bad for beginners, but he's also a killer for veterans too.
Yeah,
he's really right. good His, player. Really good character.
Chain gun or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can change any time. So you can be mid match and go, well, this isn't working out, and swap over to whoever. I have a feeling we'll do all right, and I'm very excited to play. So don't feel bad if you don't have a thing yet, even though you are right now. Brian didn't want me to bring this up because he doesn't want to rub it in. He knows how it felt because he went a long time without it, and now he has it, and he doesn't want to look a gift horse in the...
I know there was people out there saying, you know, solidarity with Brian because I don't have it either, and I feel like he's one of us.
Yeah.
And now I'm not one of you.
No. You're one of what people perceive as the few...
The elite.
Privileged, yeah.
Right.
Which is bullshit.
The elite.
If you're signed up for it, you may get it. That's all you know. That's it.
Right.
They assign
right.
them.
And, you know, I want to make a big shout out to Ryan, who's the man.
Oh, well, very nice, Ryan. We're not going to be all specific about who he is, but Ryan, you know who you are.
We're not going to say who he is or for what company he may work.
Let's just say it rhymes with lizard.
Or what list he may have put me on.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, you're excited. I'm excited.
And very excited.
We're going to play, and that's all that matters. And if you want to catch that, like I said, tune in tonight, 4 p.m. Mountain Time, over at Twitch, either twitch.tv/frogpants_Scott, or the easier way is frogpants.com/Twitch. All right? That's the easiest way to get in and get out. Do what you got to do. Here's this. Check it out.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
I'm giving Daryl a little extra time because I see him rustling around over there. It is Stump a Daryl, and it's brought to you by Brian.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we celebrate the 70th birthday of singer David Gilmour of the band Pink Floyd. It is an all Pink Floyd cover story. I love doing these because there are so many great covers of their songs. Comfortably Numb, All the Stuff from the Wall, Breathe, Time, everything from Dark Side of the Moon. Oh, it's going to be such a great show. I can't wait. 1 p.m. Mountain Time right here at coverville.com/ live.
Sounds really good to me. Daryl, how you doing, man?
Overwatch.
Wait, did you get it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, everyone's getting it.
Really? Oh, so they're going to let anybody in.
We're all going to rub it in.
And Brian wasn't.
Yes, I'm always the last one.
Brian was feeling very, he was feeling very privileged, and now that's he's right. not so oh, sure about so, that.
They just
yeah. They just hit the bottom of the barrel, finally.
That is hilarious. All right. On the line with us also, we have a listener who will participate with us today. Who is this? What is your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Steven again, trying for the second time.
Ah, Steven.
Excellent. Welcome back, Steven.
I love his accent. It's amazing. Hold on. Let me guess. Yeah, let me remind myself. Belgium. That's it. I was going to say Belgium.
And Belgium.
That's right. You're the muscles from Brussels, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, let me ask.
The beer muscle, then. The beer muscle.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
What? Why would they?
Because Belgium is a derogatory term. It's like like the F-bomb.
Right.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Right, you're right. In those books, it's used as a swear word in those books. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Maybe
Zaphod Beeblebrox always says, Belgium.
All right, but how do you feel? More importantly, we always ask how does Australia feel about Paul Hogan? Or how does Canada feel about the Bob and Doug McKenzie or whatever? How do you feel about Jean-Claude Van Damme? Like, we see him as this, sometimes cheesy but often cool action man in movies, but how is he perceived by his own people?
The Village Idiot?
So kind of a Paul Hogan side then, sort of thing.
Have you heard him talking about, philosophical stuff?
No. Is it bad? Okay. Mm. I wonder if we could find some
really
of that.
Bad. There's actually a website dedicated to the funny stuff he says.
Oh, that's great. I need to find more of this. Okay, you guys in the chat room, your job is to find me a good quote while we're doing the segment and we'll play it.
A lot of them are in French, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. We'll take what we can get.
And you know what? Thank you for French fries, because a lot of people associate that with France. I want to say it was you guys that invented the French fries.
Yeah.
There's
Jacques Brel, the musician.
Yes, the musician. Yes.
Not French.
Mm.
No, the guy who did My Way, right?
Really?
Oh, no, mm-hmm. Jacques Brel. Jacques Brel.
My Way, that one? The big My Way song?
That's Claude Francois. I was confusing Claude Francois with Jacques Brel.
The bold blue eyes sings I Did It My Way, that one?
Yes. Yeah, it was originally Claude Francois. I'm sorry. I was confusing my Jacques Brel and my Claude Francois.
But
Jacques Brel did Goodbye, Seasons in the Sun.
Really?
Yes.
So
we had joy, we had fun, we had
seasons in the sun. Okay,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that
before,
one. Yeah.
Before Terry Jacks.
Well, hold on now. Did Frank Sinatra? But My Way. Then it isn't his way, is it? If he didn't write that.
No, and he wasn't even the first cover. Like Paul Anka was the one who actually Americanized the lyrics.
But everybody uses it for when he died. Like, Frank Sinatra died. Did you hear? Let's play his song. I Did It My Way, because as an artist, he did it his way. No, he did it the French guy's way is what he did.
But here's the thing about that. With a cover, it's a definitive song. It's a definitive version. And it's okay to have a definitive version of a song associated with a person, even if they weren't the first performer.
I don't agree. I think he should have had his own song called Other People Write My Shit.
Well, he wasn't a writer. He was a singer. He was a crooner.
He's like Bieber then. Because Bieber doesn't write his own songs either.
Well, I would not put Frank Sinatra and Bieber in the same sentence. Not even in the same paragraph, sir.
Not in the same paragraph?
You take that back.
Bieber wishes he was Frank Sinatra, period. That's an okay sentence. That's all right. All right, let's get on with
both,
it.
Both, Daryl.
Yeah, both.
And beer.
Both.
Waffles and chocolate.
Both waffles and chocolate. L. There you go. Mm. Nicely done.
Oh, waffles. Yeah, you guys have the Stroop waffles in Belgium, don't you?
Stroop and waffles. All right, we're gonna give the question here. Now, we have a category. The way this works is our guest caller gets to decide whether he thinks Daryl will get it right based on what the topic is. He does not get to hear the question or the answers yet, and then Daryl has to answer them to the best of his ability. If you decide Daryl's right or wrong today, you have the opportunity, if you win, to get a avatar and a digital song from Brian's collection of Andrew Allen songs from those CDs.
Mm-hmm.
A fine digital gift across the board. If you're
exciting.
Yeah,
because it's easy to send.
That's right. if you don't get it right, you're You're out on your ass. So here you go.
Oh, jeez.
Let's start with the category. The category is a Raiders. Or Ryan, I like when you do it.
Yeah.
What is today's category, please? Man. Yeah, I like it.
Today's category is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You know what I think of when you do that? Do you want to
golf?
Know no. This is what I think of. Hold on.
I've moved Catwoman.
There you go.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I moved came up with a category for today's trivia?
All right. Here it is. Daryl, sit down and hold on. Well, you're already sitting, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm holding on.
All right, good. The in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones takes a plane to Nepal. On this plane is also Toth, who is hiding behind a magazine. Is that her name? Her name is Toth?
Toth. Tot. It should be T-O-H-T.
Yeah.
Tot.
Okay. I don't know why that says Toth.
Autocorrect, probably.
Yeah, autocorrect. In true villain fashion, he pulls the magazine down so we can see him. What magazine is he reading / hiding behind the... Oh, we forgot to ask our listener what they thought the if it was yes or no.
Oh, yeah, right. Oops.
Shit. All right, Belgium, weigh in. What do you think before I go any further? What do you think he's going to get right or wrong?
I've seen the movie plenty of times, but I don't even know that. No. I don't think Daryl will know.
I don't even think any of us would know. I think that's a good bet. But we'll find out. So, Daryl, what magazine is he reading behind in this scene? Here are your options. And again, your job is to answer it as correctly as you know how. Right? That's the Daryl job. Your options are, hold on. Excuse me. A, Life.
I get a mute button.
I know. I have one right here. I should have used it. A, Life. B, The New Yorker. C, National Geographic. Or D, Time Answer. Or, sorry, just Time.
Time. Yeah.
Time Answer. Sorry, fix that. All right. I don't know if I had the spacing wrong. So, A, Life. Boy, this is really a shit show today. A, Life. B, The New Yorker. C, National Geographic. Or D, Time. So those are your options. What do you think, man? Deliberate.
I really like Time Answer.
You like Time Answer?
Yeah.
It's like Cat Fancy, Time Answer.
Don't think of that as a hint, by the way. It was all one big paragraph, and Scott broke it up and just forgot to move answer to the next line.
Yeah. It just happened to be after D, because then it says answer, and then it gives the answer. So.
Right.
Okay, so this is in what plane? Whose plane?
This is the airplane that Indiana Jones has taken to Nepal. And remember, it shows like a map with a little red line going, all that,
Mm-hmm. The New Yorker is way too snobby. National Geographic is full of naked people. At least it was back then.
My brother used to call them ski sloper boobs. Isn't that a weird thing to say?
Wow, yeah. Really?
My brother Mark, he'd say, my dad got National Geographic to the house, and he'd say, we'd get one, and I'd go, oh, cool, there's something in here about geodes or whatever, and he'd say, open it up and see if there's any ski sloper boobies. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And
that'd
what
be good to send Hot Wheels down, too.
Exactly. Like, he had it in his head that the women, like, they would have tribal women depicted in the magazine who were topless. You know, culturally, who cares? But in his mind, it was funny because they were all droopy, long, ski slopey movies.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I would not to get too far down the rabbit hole, but the droop takes out the slope.
Like, no, look at your monitors.
What? What are you putting on Skype?
Oh yeah, no, he's right. Look at it. You see it?
And the women there don't have enough support to keep that shape. So.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Belgium, how's it feel to call in the best Stump a Daryl segment we've ever done in our lives? Must feel all right. Must feel good. All right, Daryl. So,
it's more like a grapefruit in a tube sock.
So the answer is yes, National Geographic did feature ski sloper boobies. Correct. But that is not the answer you're looking for.
Okay, I'm just going to say Life, because that just seems like something that would be in that movie.
Let's see, what was the era? 40s, right? 30s, was it?
30s, I thought.
Late 30s, like 38, 39, something like that?
1930.
And I don't know which. I assume all these magazines existed then, but let's find out. Daryl,
I fear he might be right.
Yeah. Oh, you think he might be right? Or you fear? Is that what you said?
I fear he might be right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I fear Daryl in lots of ways, and also that he might be right. Let's find out. If he's right, we'll know right now because I'm about to click the thing. Judges, is he right?
Congratulations.
He's totally Yay. Right.
You're a winner.
He is reading Life magazine. Congratulations, Belgium. You didn't get it. I don't know why I said congratulations, but goodbye.
Oh.
He's reading Life magazine. He follows Indy to Nepal and tries to get into the headpiece from Marion. That's the thing that you got to shine the light through. And gets attacked by Toth. He wrote that again. And his homies. Here's a clip of him introducing himself to Marion. Here you go. Right here.
Good evening, Fräulein.
The bar is closed.
We are not thirsty.
What do you want?
The same thing your friend Dr. Jones wanted. Surely he told you there would be other interested parties.
It must have slipped his mind.
The man is nefarious.
I love that guy, but you know what? I used to think that he was Chinese when I saw that. Well, when I saw it as a kid.
His glasses are super, super thick. It was like that old stereotype.
Mm-hmm. I thought this is what they were doing. I thought, they've got a Chinese torturer man working for the Reich. And then I matured some and went, no, he was a German guy.
Mm-hmm. I always thought too.
Well, I always thought Germans had, I picture very white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan, you know, that whole thing. Yeah. And he didn't match that. Like, he didn't have the look that the rest of those German officers had. He was different. And so I thought,
from the Bugs Bunny World War II racist cartoons.
Yes, like that guy, or the guy that washes up on shore on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
You know the one? Mm-hmm. The Japanese, fake Japanese guy. Oh. It's terrible.
Oh,
time.
Right. Yes.
So look how shaped we were by the by the transgressions of our forebears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Daryl, yeah, good job. You got it right. You don't win anything, though. Just the adoration of your fans worldwide. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Goodbye, Daryl. Oh, my gosh. Holy shit.
Nice.
That was frightening. What are we doing now, Brian? I know what to do. This.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by, we don't really have anything.
Hey, what have we here?
Let's push, what do you got? Let's talk about J.F. DuBose's book again or something.
Oh, yeah, Life Engineered. Really good book. Yeah. Go check it out at Amazon. I don't know if the thing yesterday worked as far as pushing it up the ranks over at Amazon, but hopefully it did.
Yeah. I would hope so. We like him. And again, he's on Current Geek this weekend. So Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain, he'll be on Current Geek with Tom Merritt and I. We'll talk about his book and all the other nerdy stuff fit to publish.
And we should also push Brother Wild and their new album, White Flag.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's really good. I meant to have one of those handy just to play a taste of it. Oh, yeah. I forgot again. But we're going to play a song.
We're
going to
play a full song on the show here probably the week after you get back.
Awesome.
Yes.
Assuming I get back.
You get back. If not, we'll play it in memoriam when I'm hosting the show with a jury.
Yeah, don't forget me in the TMS memoriam, will you? Make sure I get in there.
We'll totally leave it out.
That'd be great. All right, let's get with the news here. Let's get with what's going on with the program, really. Hold on, my mouse quit working. There we go. Kanye West in the news. You familiar with Kanye West?
I think I've heard of him. He's one of these guys that kind of shies away from the spotlight, right? This is like a... he's more of a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
Yeah, keeps to himself, doesn't really have opinions or anything. Yeah. Just real quiet. Quietly, you know, being one of the top 10 artists of the last decade. he is in trouble, or he is being shamed anyway for something he did.
Okay.
He shared a picture of himself using the file-sharing site Pirate Bay. Hold on. Shut up, Siri. I didn't ask you a question. The thing it says I asked was he shared a picture of himself. No. Okay, it's doing
Siri
it when
says,
I say
let
that.
Me help you take a selfie.
He shared a picture of himself. No, it didn't do it that time.
Somehow she thought there was a hey Siri in there.
Yeah, hey Sherry.
Hey Sherry.
Hey Sherry. Oh, it did it.
Did on mine too.
Yeah. Gosh dang it.
Which I don't know how it heard you. Unless it was me.
Yeah, that's weird.
Must have heard me, because there's no way it could hear you.
Well, let's try some. Siri, who will be the next president of the United States?
Let me think about that. Here's what I found on
the... Oh, yeah, you don't want to tell... Get off the fence, Siri. Take a position. Right. Okay.
Unaffiliated.
Putting that over there. She's running as an independent. I'd vote for Siri over some of the chuckleheads running right now.
No kidding.
Kanye West is a weirdo, but he's being controversial. He has this picture of him using Pirate Bay, and several fans have accused him of illegally downloading music, or specifically a program that's used in production that cost $190, and he appears to be downloading it for free on Pirate Bay. Now, remember, this is Kanye West, a guy who threatened to sue Pirate Bay for having torrents on it that had his music on it.
Yeah, a guy whose most recent album was stolen and shared across the internet and supposedly hurt his sales on Tidal.
Yep. The software is called Serum. It's $189. Check out who called him out. It was Deadmau5 or Deadmau5, who said he accused him of stealing wavetable synthesizer program Serum by XFR Records. He says this. He says this. Quick to chime in on Twitter, he said to Kanye, "What the F, Kanye West? Can't afford Serum? Dick!"
Wow.
Yeah, Deadmau5 not slow to let people know what he thinks.
Jeez, yeah, I guess not. Wow.
Anyway, it seems something's a little sleazy. Nobody's really sure what's going on. Mm-hmm. If he's really $50 million in debt, I guess $190 is a lot of money. Right.
Right.
It probably is.
It probably is, yeah.
It's a big chunk of change.
Jeez.
I don't know how this all turned out, but he's under the spotlight again. Hey, big shock, everybody. Kanye's controversial again.
Mm. What do you know?
NASA, there's some good news. NASA's astronaut Scott Kelly. He has two first names. That guy. Safely returned to Earth after he was in the International Space Station for a year.
340 days, yeah.
That's a long time.
Longest time spent in space by an American.
And when they brought him out, he was like kind of atrophied and skinny, and you know, there's no muscle workout up there really.
Was he complaining about American parts, Russian parts, all made in China?
No, I don't think he went all Peter Stormare on us, but I like the idea that he might have.
Yeah, right.
Who I watched last night, by the way, in the Frogger episode of Seinfeld.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, he's great in that.
Don't touch anything.
Anything. You owe me a quarter. Yeah, so he had spent a bunch of time there. I guess his counterpart, Mikhail Korolenko, however you say the Russian name, returned to Earth Tuesday night after a historic 340-day mission aboard the International Space Station. The space travelers touched down in Kazakhstan. Oh, my wife. At 11:26 p.m. Eastern, and he's doing well. He's good. Super bald, though. I've never seen a guy look more bald. He looked like an alien, I'm not going to lie. A little bit like an alien.
Yeah, we need to check. We need to take a look at that guy.
What are you going
to
do?
I'd like to see a birth certificate, please, Scott Kelly.
Birthers. Earther. No, it's Earth birthers. Earth, wait.
Earthers, yeah.
Earther birthers.
Earther movement.
In that Expanse show and in the books they're based on.
Belters, yeah.
Belters, Earthers, and Martians. Those are your
I'm about three
factions.
Episodes in and
so
loving it.
Good, Brian. It's so good.
I was really hoping there'd be more Jonathan Banks, but he's just kind of a quickie in the first episode, isn't he?
You know, he never shows up again. He's the most chick in the bucket I've ever seen.
He's a Mike in the bucket.
I'm glad he was there. I don't really know why he was, though.
Yeah. Just to open a spot, basically.
I guess so. It's weird. Yeah. The books are great too. I'm reading that whole first and second book while I'm on this vacation. I swear I'm just going to eat them up.
Oh yeah, I read the whole Martian when we were in Vegas last year in September, cover to cover.
That was good. I'll bet.
So good.
Cover to cover. Isn't that that's a show you do on the side, isn't it? Cover to cover.
It should be.
Why isn't it?
It's the second most popular name for a cover album ever. The first being Under the Covers.
Great.
If you're making a cover album, stay away from those two.
Let's see here. Some more news about Donald Trump, but not the kind that'll make you turn us off, okay?
Okay.
There is a way to play as him in Civilization V. As you know, in Civ 5, you can be all these historic leaders, right? Mm-hmm. So you can be Gandhi or President Washington or, in the previous games, Lincoln was the American one. And, you know, anyway, you can just be these different guys, Genghis Khan and Alexander the Great and that sort of stuff. Somebody has modded. The game's very moddable. People make mods for it all the time. And one of the mods they put in was Donald Trump. And there it is. This article starts this way. There is an increasing and terrifying likelihood that the doughy billionaire Donald Trump... Look at him throwing out words. You know, if we don't like that he's calling other people names, we probably shouldn't do it to him. I'm right. Just saying it's a little hypocritical. I don't love Trump. You know that. Y'all know that. But us calling him doughy...
I still think it's not as good as a short-fingered vulgarian.
Yeah, that too is good. But him calling everyone lightweights and idiots and whatever he does, it's not helping that we do it back. But anyway, to get a preview of the horrors that await us, some person has created a mod for the game Civilization V, which you can play a version of America that is headed by President Trump. The results are both hilarious and depressing. As you'd expect, playing as Trump involves being brutally cruel to your enemies at the expense of all things like international alliances and trade. From an AI perspective, I imagine that playing against Trump is a little bit like playing against a Brooklyn Knight version of Genghis Khan, who hurls racial epithets at low-energy leaders like Gandhi and Ramses too.
Not a fan.
George,
not a fan.
He refers to Catherine the Great as, quote, a real bimbo, unquote.
Jeez.
That game's great because all you have to do is just, like, tweak a bunch of setting or a bunch of numbers and then apply a new name to it. So I could take a picture of you and say, you know, Lord Brian Ibbett of the whatever, and you could have all these stats that say, oh, you're great at trade, but you're terrible at domestic stuff, or you're, you know,
nice.
That's how the game works. So it's actually not a hard mod, but that is a depressing mod.
That is.
Go get a taste of it, everyone. You did all right in the Tuesday thing yesterday, the Super Tuesday there.
Yeah.
Like eight states or something.
It's a scary proposition, although the better he does, I think the more likely it puts a Democrat.
Which is why the GOP doesn't like him. Yeah. They should do something.
Well, you hear, I mean, again, not to get into politics, but that's where your Romney can come in, can run as a, I guess he'd have to announce it today to get on the ticket.
If he wants on the GOP ticket, he'd have to say something. And yeah, there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of talk that him being so vocal on social media lately towards Trump is a sign of that potential. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not crossing my fingers. But I really do wonder, Brian, if you go back and look at all the history, all the stuff that's come up lately about how much he supported with both money and support the Clintons in the past. Mm-hmm. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but it's starting to seem.
You think that
maybe,
that he ran just to ensure a Hillary victory?
Maybe, because he doesn't give it. I don't think he gives a shit.
I don't know.
It's a little. I realize it's a little far afield, but I'm not. It may end up effectively doing that regardless, and so then people will definitely have that feeling.
Sure, of course.
Anyway, here we go.
Anyway, yeah.
Osama bin Laden in the news.
Ah, okay.
I thought we killed that guy.
We did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's out then?
He's out. He's not
Who did we give credit for that for? Because you couldn't give it to Bush and Cheney because they didn't do it.
No, it was during
Obama.
It was during Obama's reign. He came out and did that whole announcement on
But don't people still say he did it wrong or something? Like, isn't that the deal?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like that's the one thing that both sides of the aisle can applaud him for.
I don't remember. I feel like conservatives didn't give him much credit. I feel like that's what happened there.
Was it SEAL Team 6?
SEAL Team 6, yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys are good.
They are good.
They're featured in
Zero Dark 30.
Yeah. I didn't see that movie.
That was a good movie.
I heard it was. it's got your Jennifer Chastain in it, Brian.
It certainly does.
Jennifer Chastain, everybody. Not Jessica, but Jennifer Chastain. If you recall our conversation from yesterday.
I recall. I kind of nicked that name, didn't I?
I liked it. Osama bin Laden's feared, while he was on this planet, he feared his wife's tooth. I guess one of his wives. He had many wives. He feared his wife's tooth held a tracking device in it. don't smile at me. We are being tracked by your tooth. American drones were devastating the upper ranks of Al-Qaeda. His men were killing suspected spies. And Osama bin Laden wondered, could an Iranian dentist have planted a tracking device in his wife's tooth? The size of the chip is about the length of a grain of wheat and the width of a piece of vermicelli. Is that
vermicelli?
Vermicelli. What is that?
That's pasta.
Oh, a little pasta. Yeah, like I've had that, I think.
Yeah, like angel hair is vermicelli.
Okay. A few paragraphs later, Bin Laden signed off and added, "Please destroy this letter after reading it." The letter was among thousands of pages of documents and material seized by Navy SEALs during the raid on Bin Laden's compound when they wasted him back in May of 2011. Was that long?
Not gonna say about a bad, huh?
No, I don't want to. Because I will be about a bad at saying it. It was declassified on Tuesday with 112 other pieces of writings and letters found in the Al Qaeda leader's hideout. And he thought his wife had a chip in her tooth. So there's that.
Wow.
And I don't mean the kind of chips I get in my teeth.
Like the kind of chip you had yesterday.
Yeah. Not huge chunks of your molar being lopped off.
Maybe she ate a beaver nugget.
Yeah. By the way, grats to the dentist for I've had no pain, no post discomfort. The only thing I got is like a weird little canker sore where like one of his little tools was.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, hey, your mouth heals quickly unless you got herpes, so I'm fine.
So true.
I'm not herpetic. Don't worry about me. Hey guys, quick break here to talk about our friends at Casper.com. I have a Casper mattress. Did you know that? Have I told you that before? From Casper.com. Did I also tell you, or haven't I, that I got it for 100 days to try it out for free before I decided to keep it? Did I tell you any of that stuff? Let me tell you a little bit more about these guys. Casper, they are a online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of what you're used to paying at showrooms and resellers and all that stuff. Direct to consumer pricing. That's what they're all about. And I'm all about that. They're obsessive about these things. Two major technologies at play. They work for me every night. Latex and memory foam coming together for better nights and brighter days. You can get a comfortable mattress without paying crazy prices. For example, $500 for a twin, $950 for a king-size mattress. Do you know how much those cost normally at showrooms? You know, because you've been looking. Well, don't look anymore. I got a deal for you. Save an additional $50 when you go to Casper.com. Just do this. Go to Casper.com/morningstream and then enter the promo code morningstream. That's Casper.com/morningstream and the promo code morningstream to save $50. And again, 100 days, risk-free. Try it, like it, and then decide at Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply, so make sure you read everything. That's Casper.com/morningstream and the code morningstream. Going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and a couple of emails, a couple other shorties I found that I really liked. So we'll get to those soon. Okay. But before we do, could you please play some music?
I would love to. How about something going out to Justin Munn, who says, "Hey, slurp and butt. As we know, it will be my birthday on Friday, March 4th. Would love it if you guys would play a cover of one of my favorite bands, Oasis. If you can't find any covers worthy for my name, then a snippet of the third eagle as he eats grass would do."
Oh, frick. Okay, here we go.
"He lives among the beasts and eats grass."
There you go.
Classic. Yeah. It's the greatest hits, man. Yeah. As we know, love the show, though. Signed, Justin Munn. great email, Justin, and happy birthday. Covers Oasis, well, you know, everybody covers Wonderwall. Why not play a cover of Wonderwall? Because it's great. This is a band called Good Grief. Love the name. From the 2014 Indie Goes Pop. Again, one of those albums are about 50-50 on great material and unrelenting screaming. But this is one of the good ones. Good Grief and their cover of Oasis's Wonderwall.
Oh, hold on. That didn't copy over properly. There it is. Wonderwall.
"Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you've got to do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. About you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do. Winding, and all the lights that lead the way are blinding. There are many things that I like to say to you, but I don't know how. After all, you're my wonderwall. So maybe you'll save me. After all, you're my wonderwall.
He was a very famous and evil, actually, pagan king. Where'd you get your body from?
The morning stream. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
All right, we're back. Kind of miss Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were dicks, yeah. Kind of. The one guy was kind of a big dick, but...
Yeah.
They're good.
Noel,
music.
Noel Gallagher.
Yeah, the music was good.
Or Liam Gallagher. I can't remember which one was the bigger dick. they were both dicks to each other. And
I mean, they weren't twins, right? They were
just brothers.
Just brothers.
Not twins.
Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. Didn't he? One of them talked lately about something. Oh, he didn't like Adele.
Oh right. Yes.
But I don't
right.
know. I think that was the one that everyone thinks is a dick.
Right.
I like the word.
Can't even
dick.
Remember the current band that they're in right now, but. Or that one of them's in.
Oh, so they're doing other stuff then.
Yeah,
but not together though.
Not together.
All right. Never again.
Dice Tomato says it was Noel was the dick.
Noel was the. Thanks, Dice Tomato. He's a trivia nerd. What do you know?
That's right. Bingo card. Noel was the dick.
That's right. Let's get Nicole in here. Do it upright.
Yes.
I got a thing to play when I do it upright. I can find it. Yeah, here we go. I found it. Let's get her in here and talk some streaming stuff, you know, things we like to see and watch
sure.
and spend time with and all that. Oh, here it is, right here.
Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole.
Nicole Spagnuolo on the line. Hello, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you?
Talking about dicks a lot.
I know. I can't stop talking about dicks.
Which makes me think of Flight of the Conchords, which is, by the way, did you see they're going to be doing a tour?
I did hear that.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome. Yes.
You've been to that tour before, right? Their last time.
Yeah, they were they did a comedy circuit, and mm-hmm. we went to. Didn't really care about the comedy. I just wanted to see them.
Did they? Did Murray come with them or no Murray?
No, wasn't there.
Band meeting. he's great on the X-Files, by the way. If y'all haven't seen episode 3, was it? Yeah, that was so good. And
yeah, really, really good.
I'm so glad he was the guy. X-Files? Oh yeah, this new season, he was amazing on this one episode. It was a one-off, but it was really good. Very funny. Totally reminded me of some of those weird old ones. It was awesome. Yeah, he's great. And if you haven't, what's that other thing we always talk about? That what we do in the shadows.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Oh, he's so good. Yes.
And they're going to be making a movie about the werewolf.
Like a spin-off movie. Fantastic.
I am so into that.
I told you not to wear your best clothes.
I told you, you're going to lose your pants. You just bought them. Band meeting. All right.
I love those guys. Sorry.
They're so good.
We got sidetracked.
It's all right. We can be sidetracked sometimes. It's time for us to do recommendals, where you come on the show on Wednesdays. We talk about streaming things that we're all into and like. And Brian, we always start with you. We have a theme today. That theme is, hold on, I have it right here. Ah, crap.
I like that I text you the cards, don't you?
I do. A lot.
I use it too. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad this is
what it is. It's some record that we always have.
Documented in time forever.
So it's a, let's see, theme and genres, dysfunctional family, and it has to have the following scenes, which feature either time travel or a countdown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I, oddly enough, think I figured out how to do it without cheating. So I'll get to that in a second, but I want to hear Brian's first. Brian, will play your clip. What's your, do you have any setup for this?
So this is interesting because definitely fits the role of a dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. It kind of has the ultimate countdown, the kind of, we all know about the countdown, but the people in the movie don't know about the countdown. And it's a documentary that's recently gotten a lot of praise. Whoa. So we'll go with that.
All right. I have no guesses. Here it is.
You're a very confident young woman, I've noticed. Have you always been kind of this self-possessed?
Yeah.
No, I mean that nicely. I mean, you know, you just, I'm surprised. And it's a good thing. Do you get it from your mum, your dad? I mean,
I don't know. My dad's quite outspoken. Mm-hmm. He's a cab driver.
Oh, well, that's saying no more.
Yeah.
That's it. And has he got a picture of you in the cab now? Does he lean back? Does he try and flog your album to people in the taxi?
I don't think so.
You're managed by the company. And this surprised me. I only found this out today. You're managed by the company you look after S Club 7. You used to look after the Spice Girls, Simon Fuller. Have they tried to mould you in any way, though, if people ask you to do things to change the way you look or speak or behave?
Yeah, one of them tried to mould me into a big triangle shape. And I went, no. Nah, you know, I've got my own style.
All right, I know what that is. That's Amy.
That is exactly what
it
is.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Where is that streaming?
It is streaming free on Amazon Prime.
Oh my gosh.
So if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can watch this, and you should. It is
nice.
It is so well deserving of the best documentary feature award.
Her father is not happy about that.
He isn't. And it's funny because I can kind of see he's not represented well in parts of the film, and I can kind of see why he's upset about it. However, the things he does in the film kind of,
well, yeah, by all accounts, kind of, he's a huge, there's that word again, dick. He's a huge dick.
I wouldn't say he's a huge dick. There's no doubt in my mind after watching the film that he loves his daughter.
Yeah.
However, there's a choice that he makes near the end of the film that that I don't think helps things, and certainly doesn't help the relationship that he and Amy have.
Isn't in the song, the rehab song, doesn't he tell her she doesn't need to go? Lyrics, something like that.
Exactly. And that's even, it's funny how there's a whole section of the movie where they talk about when she's going to rehab or when they're trying to get her to go to rehab. And this is all stuff that's recorded before the song was even written. And it's almost verbatim like what the song says.
Oh, wow.
So it's really interesting. The first part of the film, so you get, you know, the early days of Amy. And it's funny because this is a day and age where everyone's got cameras on their phone and everyone's got video cameras everywhere.
Right.
So for a documentary, there's a lot of material to work with. And so you see Amy Winehouse at her friend's house when they're like 9 or 10 or something. Wow. And they're singing
her
together.
Her as a person, right?
Her as a person. And you realize just what an incredible talent she was, and what an amazing voice. But more than that, what an amazing lyricist she was, because all of the songs that she sings in the film, or all the songs that they show her sing in the film, they put the lyrics very artistically on screen with her, so you can read the lyrics while you're hearing her sing them. And Tina looks at me and says, you know, I knew she was a great singer. I knew she had a great voice. I had no idea that she was such an amazing songwriter.
Wow.
And so it's great. It's a little over 2 hours.
It won Best Documentary Film at the Oscars there.
At the Academy Awards. So it's worth checking out. And it's a sad, you know, it's a sad story. The countdown, of course, is that we know what everybody else in the film doesn't know. We know what they're counting down towards. And boy, highest compliment she could ever get paid. She works with Tony Bennett, and he has the nicest things to say about her, like ranking her with Ella Fitzgerald and other people. So it's a great, really, really good film.
Well,
that's cool. That's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I agree.
And it features that interview there that she had with Jonathan Ross before she started looking like Amy Winehouse, a very early 2004 interview with Jonathan Ross. She still had the cat eye mascara thing, but didn't have the bouffant.
The beehive thing. Whenever I see a beehive, there was a story that the girls would tell in school, like in middle school, about the woman that made the beehive that actually was, there was rats in it. There's always something in the beehive.
Right.
Bees. Nasty. There should be bees in the beehive.
Like almost a ghost, a scary story that young girls tell each other to freak one another out.
Yeah. Well, it's a good part of growing up, I think. I'm going to play a clip now that you guys are going to have to guess. It has, I believe, adherence to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I say that in a way that makes it seem like it's not going to.
I will decide.
Yes, exactly.
But I promise it sort of kind of does. Anyway, I'll play it here. You guys see if you can guess what it is. Here it is. Whoops, there it is.
I saw something. What did you see? Gods desire you to have a great future, but they can withdraw their goodwill at any time. The laws of men are far below the workings and shapings of the gods. What are you afraid of?
You and I will always be equal.
All the friends and companions of my youth are dead, feasting and drinking in the halls of the gods. What? Gift me the chance,
stand,
to die with honor in battle and join my friends in Valhalla.
All right. Guesses?
No idea.
Okay.
It's not the sequel to 300, is it?
No, ma'am. No guesses? Nobody knows?
No.
All right. This is currently on Hulu, I believe. Maybe Amazon. I know it's been on Amazon, so maybe it's on both. Kim and I are currently making our way through the most recent seasons of Vikings.
Oh. It's a TV show.
It's a TV show, streaming show. It is, so here's my adherence to the rules. It is about a very dysfunctional family. So like everybody involved in the in this thing, which is a historical drama about Ragnar, what's his name? Actual great Viking warlord dude.
Ragnar Lothbrok.
There you go. And played by an actor who's going to be in the new Warcraft movie, which is kind of exciting.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, it's they're super dysfunctional in just about every possible way.
Sure.
And there's time travel in the sense that there is both a seer who can see the future, or he says he can, and also it's a historical drama where we have to go back in time. So there you go. That's how that worked. There is no countdown.
I'll allow it.
There's no countdown.
I wouldn't.
I mean, maybe there's a count. I could use the same countdown Brian does and say, well, eventually he gets killed. But, you know, I don't think I can use that.
David Cross says the time travel is the fact that the characters travel 60 seconds forward through time every minute.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
Well done.
That series is really, really great. And don't let it scare you. With this or even like the Hatfields and McCoys miniseries that were both of these shows are produced and made for the History Channel. And a lot of people hear that and go, oh, well, that's weird. They don't have dramas that are any good, or you might think the budgets would be bad or something like that. Mm-mm. This is like Game of Thrones level production value, Beautiful, beautiful scenery and photography and really great acting. And just if you like that kind of historical drama stuff, I can't recommend Vikings enough. It's really, really good. So there's that. That's me, Nicole. Your turn.
All right. So I have an actual pick that I'm going to play you the clip. But when we picked the theme or the theme and scene last week, Mark instantly had a response.
Oh, all right.
Did you guys think of
like, I didn't.
The most notable dysfunctional family and time travel movie out there?
Click came to mind.
Well, I mean, Back to the Future has got a pretty...
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's... Yeah, of course.
It's like
yeah.
the best one.
It's just not streaming anywhere, I don't think.
But there is a documentary streaming.
Oh.
Oh.
That is on Netflix, and it's called Back in Time. And I started watching it. I haven't finished it. That's why I really... I mean, it's really kind of interesting to get the layers of how the movie was made and mm-hmm. all the details of Eric Stoltz. And man, that must suck for Eric Stoltz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right.
They filmed
yeah.
for like 6 weeks.
Right. Most of the filming was done on his part. It's like, yeah, he's just not right.
I mean, and they even reused a lot of the scenes that he did and just put Michael J. Fox on the other side of it. So yeah,
they would have scenes where
actually responding to Stoltz.
Right. So it'd be like Doc Brown talking and the right. scene just before that was Michael J. Fox saying, "Doc, what are we going to do?" And it would just turn to him and he'd talk back. But little did you know, redheaded freaking mask was sitting on the other side.
Yes. So it's a really interesting documentary. I'm enjoying watching it in between Ava sleeping at this point. Yeah. But here is my actual pick. Right. So you got to guess what it is.
All right, go ahead.
Was it morally wrong to exploit our knowledge of the future for personal financial gain?
Lou! Dorcha!
I'm the father of the internet.
Ever since I wrote Call Me Maybe back in 92, I've been on a roll.
Hey, Nick, rip off any pop stars lately?
Today, I recorded an original piece.
You say, I only hear what I want to.
Okay, it was a Lisa Loeb song. Ready for another dip?
I think this time maybe I'll invent yoga pants.
Yeah! How far back do we go?
2025.
The future.
Oh my God, you're Nick Weber, man. Let's take a picture.
Isn't what it used to be.
I still like your music. I know you're falling on hard times.
Hard times?
Could you please do the Weber strut?
The what now?
Everybody, strut.
You're like picking dicks out of a tree.
It looks like dick picking.
Got a real theme going today.
That's right.
That has got to be the Hot Tub Time Machine sequel.
That's right.
That is right. That is Hot Tub Time Machine 2, and it is streaming on Amazon Prime right now.
Is it any good is the question.
Here's the thing.
All right.
It's not, but okay. It's freaking hilarious and stupid, and the dysfunctional family, of course, is Lou and his younger son, and instead of going to the past, they go to the future. This is Sans... what's his face? He was in the first
one. John Cusack.
Yeah. Oh, he was in the first one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen either of these movies, so.
I saw the first one, yeah.
Is the first one funny?
Yes, the first one's funny. Yeah. Honestly, I think the second one's funny, too. It's just ridiculous. It's stupid, stupid, stupid.
Yeah.
But it
features most of the cast of The Office in its final few seasons.
Right.
Pretty much,
yeah.
I love Craig Robinson.
Yeah, he's great. And I like Scott, what's his name? Or Adam Scott. Adam Scott? No. What's his name?
Yeah, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, yeah, I like him a lot. And I also like the...
That was him at the
Craig
end.
Craig Robinson?
Yeah, and I like the what's his name, who's in this, who was on the other show. I can't think of his name. Oh, Rob Corddry. I like Rob Corddry.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
14% on Rotten Tomatoes. Did not do well when it came out.
I'm telling you, it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just funny and stupid. So if you really just want a brainless, ridiculous, this is your movie.
Here's how they call it. This is the full review from Norman Wilner from Now Toronto. He says, "It's an hour and a half of bros partying heartily and insulting each other while checking out the hot racks on the hot ladies with a few time travel jokes thrown in." So, all right. Okay. Sounds all right.
I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
I love it. There's just sometimes I just want to just laugh.
Sure. Yeah. I don't want a movie where I'm really going to have to, like, think and you know.
I think a lot.
No, I mean, but I'm being serious. Like sometimes you don't want.
Right. 11.263 is going to make you think. This one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You see that new episode, by the way? It was good.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's good. It's we get starting getting into the meat of the deal there. It's real good. Yeah, that show continues to be great. I can't stand that I have to stop though. It's like, oh, it's Monday. I got an episode. Bullshit. I gotta wait another week, and I'll be in Mexico.
Mark and I were looking into it, and they're trying to capture that water cooler talk. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, did you catch the latest episode 11/22/63?
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to
do. They're trying to do that. I don't know how they're succeeding, but they're trying.
I don't know. They got me hooked. I'm counting down like, oh, new episode coming out.
It's so good.
Normally, I don't care when episodes come out.
All right.
Speaking of releasing like content online,
yeah.
Did either of you watch Fuller House?
No.
No.
We watched the first episode last night.
Is it poo or is it okay?
It's so bad.
Because I talked to somebody who actually came into it thinking they were going to hate it and liked it, and I can't talk to that person now.
They're dead to me.
Also, John Jagger, in fact, also is another one who told me that he went in very skeptically and kind of liked it. And
I wonder,
too.
Yeah,
and I wonder how much of that is, you know, somebody who really, really enjoyed the original show. Yeah.
Really, really enjoy the original show. I mean, it was on one of the three networks that you watched.
Right.
It was like you had a lot of options when that came out.
Right.
I mean, you had cable, but cable wasn't what cable is today. So it was such a limited scope back then.
Right.
And it was like, you know, for me, I don't know, like, Brian, if they came out today and said, we're bringing Silver Spoon back this time, he's the dad and he's got a kid who's Silver Spoon too.
The other would be like, we're bringing back Bosom Buddies.
Yeah, exactly. And if they did... Yeah, and if they did that,
I would too.
It would also probably be dumb. You know, we'd watch it and go, well, this is dumb.
But think about it, though. If you look at how the show did back when it aired, you know, what their market share was, and they're counting on just a percentage of that audience, it might be viable for them to do these shows. I mean, they're tapping in. It's an interesting play on nostalgia and trying to really... get you to come back to a particular show.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I thought it was fun. It was silly. Again,
sure.
I'm all about the silly right now.
I'm also about Netflix resurrecting weird stuff. I think
it's kind of neat.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Who else is doing this? Nobody. You know, no network is doing this. So I guess that CBS is doing it with Star Trek, but that's different.
Mm-hmm. They break, what is it called? The third wall?
Fourth wall.
Yeah. So they break the fourth wall in the first episode. When they go, where's the Olsen twins?
Yeah.
And the joke is, they're in New York running their fashion empire. And they all just look at the screen.
Yeah. And they...
Really? Okay, so a little self,
self-referential.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those kids, like, what do they care? They were tiny babies and then toddlers when they were playing one person. Like, what do they care? They don't want to come back and do this.
They're off smoking cigarettes in France.
Yeah, isn't that what they do now? That's what they do.
At least one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know which one, but
they're off smoking cigarettes in France. Their sister's amazing, though.
She's married to Sarkozy's brother.
Who's Sir? Oh,
the French president.
Really?
His brother.
Really?
Married one of the Olsen twins. Just Google it.
I love how you say Sarkozy because it sounds Sarkozy sounds like a thing you'd buy for your drink. I've got a Sarkozy. It keeps my Coke cold all day.
It's the weirdest combo. Because he's really tall, he's older, they're always smoking cigarettes. In fact, at their wedding, they gave their guests bowls of cigarettes.
Yeah, I'm sure growing up in the public spotlight and everybody acting like you're hot when you're 15 and creeping you out all the time is just, it's going to make you an absolutely normal, adjusted young
nothing
woman.
Nothing doesn't sound anything wrong there.
I'm sure it's all going to be fine. Yep. Their sister, though, what's her name? Ashley. No.
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah,
I don't know
the other
which
one is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Olsen is so good.
She's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. She's in. She's your magic
Scarlet
lady.
Witch.
Scarlet mm-hmm. Witch in your Ultron movie. What else? She's done
Godzilla.
Godzilla. She was great in that. Mm-hmm. Her and Speed Man were in that too together. Everyone forgets.
Right.
Quicksilver. You know, Speed Man.
Speed Man. Yeah. Speed Man.
Quicksilver. The guy who played Quicksilver in Ultron with her as Scarlet Witch were together in.
I like a Quicksilver that was in X-Men because he's the actor that is in American Horror Story, and I love him.
He's
love
really him. Good.
He's creepy in American Horror Story.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he gives me the willies. Well, anyway, good job, everyone.
Yay!
Involved in everything. And may Jennifer... What is it, Jennifer? It's not Jennifer Olsen, is it? What was it, Brian?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, okay.
Do you want me to pick next week's...
Jessica Olsen.
Susan.
Something like that.
Susan Olsen, perfect. It's Cindy Brady. Yes.
Next week we need a theme. What do you want to do here?
Production and characters.
Okay.
Here. So production. It's in black and white.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay.
All right, got
characters,
one already. Yeah.
They lose their virtue, lose their way, or lose their mind.
Wow. I totally got one. Oh, I won't be here next week though. It's got to be the week after.
None of us will be here next week.
Yeah.
I can do recommendals without you.
No.
Scott's going to Mexico.
I'm going to Mexico.
Don't drink the water.
I'll be south of you. No, trust me.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
This is Scott we're talking
about.
Yeah,
you're talking about, I'm more paranoid about that than anything. I'm not drinking any water unless it's in a bottle or boiled. So
Speaking of not drinking the water, finally got to the last episode of The Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking awesome. That show is so good.
I know.
No one talked about it.
Well, we did. We loved it. I think it's great.
We knew the whole time it was going to be awesome.
They are going to do a final season, which is very exciting. Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah.
I was really worried they were just going to end it on last.
No, I think it did well. I think HBO did well with it. I don't think it was
good.
A stinker for them. I think it went well. So yeah, I need to see it through. I love these characters. That is an amazing show.
Don't drink the water.
Yeah. Don't drink the water. That's true. Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Follow her there, and her exploits will always be there. Nicole, thanks so much, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye now.
See you.
Hold on, can't hang up. Okay, there we go. All right, Brian. It's time.
Yeah?
I needed to write down. Let's see. Watch. Isn't there for recommendals. Okay, I just had to write down my recommendals so I don't forget because I have the perfect movie in mind.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do.
Very good.
All right. Let's get Tom in here.
I have a couple ideas.
Do you? All right. Yeah. I like your couple ideas. Let's get Tom Merritt in here. Let's play his little themey song thing. Here it is.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
It's not really a song, but who cares? It's Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt is right here. What's going on, Tom Merritt?
Oh, I'm just writing things about Apple encryption on the dailytechnewsshow.com website and then realizing I didn't properly close all my tags.
Oh no. You're gonna pop some tags.
You left some open tags?
I left some open tags. So now I'm trying to find out if I can fix them all. Looks like
HTML,
yes,
first world HTML problems.
I am coding HTML live on the morning stream, ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Good TV.
Tom Merritt comes here on Wednesdays. We talk about the daily tech news that is coming into our faces, and later he'll do it again. With Daily Tech News Show, the actual show at 2:30.
Thanks to Scott Johnson's assistance.
Well, I'll be there for sure, which is always exciting. And I am the foil to Tom's genius on Wednesdays. That's what you can count on. But today,
you're the foil that keeps my casserole.
I feel like this Apple FBI thing is the story that just keeps on giving. There's always something.
I know, three weeks in a row, right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So you know, because it is about Apple encryption, what I just put up on DTNS is sort of a roundup of what security experts are saying about the particular issue of could Apple actually write software for the FBI that could only be used once, right? Because frankly, the FBI, the whole controversy goes away if Apple says, oh, yeah, well, we can write something that brute forces this one phone this one time, and it would never be able to be used on any other phone. Now, some people may say, yeah, but there's 175 phones and then Apple could be made to make that happen. But if in a world where we imagine that every time they wrote this software, it was, you know, fairly easy and they could give it under a court order with a warrant, that would be fine. That's no different than a safe cracker being, you know, asked to crack a safe because the judge says this is a criminal case. This safe has, you know, a high potential of evidence. Mm-hmm. That's the way the system's supposed to work. Right.
Right.
The problem for most people is, yeah, but if you make this software, it's infinitely copyable. It gets out, somebody else uses it, and they crack into other things.
Right.
So is that in fact the issue? And so I went through, I got some stuff from Steve Gibson, Bruce Schneier, the EFF, Jonathan Jarski, and Susan Landau, who testified in front of Congress yesterday. She's an encryption specialist that is a professor at Worcester Polytechnic Institute, talking about what the actual risk is. And it does come down to your opinion of how risky you want to be. Because as Steve Gibson very correctly points out, yes, Apple can create a piece of software that can be used only once. And that is not technically impossible. What Jarski and Landau and Schneier all point out is that depends, and Steve agrees with this, that depends on Apple protecting its key signing. There's a key that Apple provides that to sign software that says, yes, this software came from Apple. You can trust this to update your firmware. Right. That's what makes it possible for us to do over-the-air updates, right? So that we know we haven't actually received software from some harmful source. It actually came from Apple.
Right.
So it's all about how well can Apple protect that key. And essentially what Jarski says is he's done a lot of testimony and expert witness work. And to create a forensic tool, which is what the FBI is asking Apple to do, that would hold up in court, it has to go through third parties. It has to be peer-reviewed. It has to be tested by other people. So all of a sudden, it isn't under Apple's control 100% if they want to make a really good tool that will hold up in court. Bruce Schneier suspects, like, hey, who's to say governments haven't already stole Apple's key and are keeping it? Like, this is possible. Mm-hmm. A little bit more tinfoil hat there.
Right.
But Susan Landau, I think, made the most interesting argument, which is if this becomes common practice. And remember, we had New York Attorney General Vance yesterday saying he's got hundreds of iPhones that he would like to break into with this method. If this becomes a regular occurrence, you are going to have to create a system for it. It becomes routine. And when something becomes routine, you have to make it easier to do. And when you make it easier to do, it makes that signed key more at risk, more exposed to being protected. Right now, Apple doesn't roll out that key very often. They can keep it pretty secure. So anyway, I don't think what I wrote up on DTNS is the definitive work on this matter, but it will point you, if you're interested, into reading Landau and Schneier and Gibson and Jarski and the EFF and finding out what I think are, in collaboration, the definitive issues here.
So it sounds like it once again boils down to Apple wanting to not set a precedent. Or they what they want to do is actually set a precedent, saying, no, this is where you got to plant your flag and say, beyond this line lies trouble.
Yeah.
And this isn't so much about this one phone or 100 other phones or anything else. It's like, we do it this one time, floodgates, genie's out of the bottle, blah, 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 right?
Yeah. That is the basic argument they've been making. And some people have been pointing out rightly, like, well, it doesn't, you know, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. And half the genie isn't guaranteed to get out of the bottle. And that's what it comes down to is, you know, what is your belief in how easy it is to protect the key in the situations that might arise, and how likely do you think those situations are to arise?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we're certainly not done with this case. It's going to take a while to suss this out, and maybe, I don't know, what do you predict, years maybe to get it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whatever the California court decides, it's going to get appealed. Mm-hmm. So we're talking a couple of years before this works its way maybe up to the Supreme Court. That all depends on what Congress does. Congress might pass a law about this sort of thing that makes the court case moot. Because the court is basically trying to decide, does the All Writs Act apply here? The All Writs Act, sort of oversimplifying, says if something is generally approved to be the right way to do thing, but there's not a specific law for it, the court has the right to issue a writ to make it happen.
Yeah.
And this court is saying, we think this is a generally accepted practice, you know, helping the FBI, so you should do it. Court in New York earlier this week said, no, we don't think the All Writs Act actually gives you the right to do this. We don't think this is a usual and accepted practice. That's what's being determined now. If Congress were to step in and write a law saying this in this case with encryption, this is what you do, then the courts would follow that.
It'd be really interesting to hear. I know we can't do it because he is now gone, but Justice Scalia, for whatever people may think on one side or the other of his politics, was a friend, for example, to the video game world when he made very impassioned arguments and comments about it being protected speech, like film and music and mm-hmm. other things. And that was pretty landmark and very important to that industry. I would love to hear someone who has that as a core foundation to what he believes about content approach this sort of thing. You know, I know we have other justices and they'll all have opinions, but
sure.
The one guy who has come out to be that much in protection of those sorts of things, I would love to hear or would have heard his take. And we're not going to get that, unfortunately, because he's not here.
They cited one of his cases yesterday, actually. During the testimony.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like an interesting point of view. But, I predict full Supreme Court on this one. And I'm you know what else I'm really curious about? This is a totally, not really separate thing, but when Apple gets up for their next stage conference and they're going to talk about numbers and we open new stores in China and here's the phone deal and oh, we got a new thing and oh, one more thing. They're going to do their whole spiel like they always do. But when that happens, there's going to be this thing hovering over it, right? There'll be this conversation happening behind the scenes. They're not going to get up and address it, I don't think. Maybe they will. Maybe Tim Cook will do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But does that mean anything to Apple? I mean, for sales, like, is any of this impacting them as a company in terms of things are up, things are down, stock took a dive, any of that stuff?
Yeah, I don't pay too much attention to the stock stuff because I try to cover things from the consumer angle, and that the stock market, I think you can overinterpret what it does. Right. But it is definitely going to impact Apple. Who knows how? Mm. A lot of people are cheering for Apple and becoming bigger fans of Apple because they're fighting for encryption. Other folks are boycotting Apple and saying, I'm not going to buy any Apple stuff because they won't help fight the terrorists.
Yeah.
So where where the end of that opinion sway happens is anybody's guess.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, today we'll talk more in depth about that and many other topics as they pertain to technology on the Daily Tech News Show at 2:30 Mountain Time. I'll be there. You'll be there. We'll all be there.
I won't be there.
Tom, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, you could cut. You can drop. I mean,
we wouldn't turn you away or anything.
I'll be editing Coverville listening to you guys.
All right, that's fair.
But I'm looking forward to that. Anything else you'd like to mention before we go here?
Yeah, we're really excited at Sword and Laser because we just launched the first book in the Sword and Laser Inkshares collection. It is called The Life Engineered by J.F. Dubow, who will be on Current Geek this Friday, as a matter of fact. And that book is going to be in the Current Geek crate, as a matter of fact. So it's a big party for J.F. Dubow this week.
Yeah, it is. Let's celebrate. That's awesome. Yeah, we've been talking about him here on the show as well. I couldn't be more excited for him and his project. It's very, very cool. Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, wait a minute, what's that book about again? It takes place in the 3500s. Far in the future, when humans are but a distant memory, but the machines they have created have created a utopia. Or have they?
Or, I'm guessing the rub is in the or have they part.
It wouldn't be much of a story if it was just like, everything was perfect and the machines lived happy lives. The end.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was JF's first draft, but I imagine that he probably revised after that.
Probably.
And now it's a really good story.
Well, I'm looking forward to both that and talking to you later. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. We will catch you later, sir.
Thank you, sirs.
Bye now.
See you.
All right, Brian.
Very good.
That brings us to the lonely area of the show we call emails. Oh. It's not that lonely. We have two emails I'd like to share with people, and I will begin with this one from Pookatoo.
My favorite character to collect in Pokemon.
Oh, you got to catch them all. Says, hey, if I gave you both $1 million and you had to spend it in 2 hours, what would you do?
In 2 hours?
So $1 million each, Brian. We had 2 hours, let's say from noon to 2 p.m. we had to spend.
Brewster's Millions thing where we have to spend it, like you can't say, well, I'm just going to put it in the bank and, you know,
right.
Live off of the interest.
It has to be spent. And if you do, let's sweeten the pot. If you do, okay. You get $1 million to do with whatever you want on the other side, but only if you're able to properly spend that $1 million in 2 hours. To the penny, by the way, I'm guessing.
Right. What if I, okay, so obviously I can't make it to Vegas in 2 hours, not even, you know, if I'm on my way to the airport, get on the plane and, but there is local gambling. See, that's kind of boring though. I think I'd go,
I'd go find a house I like where the guy's asking $780K and I'd say, I'll give you $1 million cash.
Yeah, there you go.
And then just say, take it now or it's going away. I mean, it's a risk for me because he may think I'm weird and tell me to go away.
Whatever. But
yeah.
You end up with a nice house. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the... But see, if you're going Brewster's Millions rules, you can't have tangible assets afterwards.
Oh, yeah. The whole goal was complete consumer
consumed. So you can't go buy a house. If it's Brewster's Millions rules, you can't have anything to show for it. So it'd have to be like, and you can't do a charity,
right?
Which is a bummer. That is a bummer.
And we don't have the advantage of having John Candy hanging around with us. So we got to think of another way.
Go up and buy a Black Lotus magic card and use it to scrape my windshield. I don't know.
Yeah, see, this is where it gets hard. If you're going Brewster's Millions tricks, that's hard.
That is hard, yeah.
Rules, but, not tricks.
But yeah, buying a house is a great idea. Go buy a really nice car, sweet car, yep. Sure.
Crash it, right? Drive it into the river.
There you go, perfect.
There you go. Next one comes from Abel. Abel's, I think it's pronounced Abel, A-B-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Have you ever run into a screen door really hard because you didn't know it was there?
Yes.
Yeah, I have done that. I don't want to say recently, though. Like, it's been forever. But when I did, I remember I had a lacerated nose from the screen for a while. Like a bloody, scrapey nose.
Yeah.
My dog does it now.
And maybe not necessarily the screen. I've done it with the glass, though, in a screen door.
Did someone witness you doing it?
I was being chased. Yeah, I was 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. I was visiting my grandparents in California. They were at a friend's house, and their daughters had a pool and a trampoline, and we were running from the pool to the trampoline and then chasing each other through the house. And I was the one getting chased at one point, and I ran smack into their glass patio door. Oh, and it just was, I certainly don't know if I was knocked unconscious, but I was certainly flattened. I bounced off of it and hit the deck.
My sister Wendy, you know, here on Thursdays.
Yep.
She was playing football. This is back in like 90 or something. She was a teenager still, and she was playing football in Phoenix. They went to Phoenix to visit my brother, and she went to go catch this ball that was thrown by him, and she ran into what I guess down there, and people in Phoenix will know what this is, I guess, but it's called a jumping cactus,
right?
Where the quills almost kind of leap at you or something, or like the way they attach, I guess, the prongs or whatever.
Barbs like latch into your skin or something.
Yeah, and they almost feel like they're pulling it more in you.
Criminy.
And so I have this, I don't know why I'm thinking about this right now, but I have this great, because we're talking about running into things you don't mean to, but I have these great pictures of people picking this stuff out of her for like an hour.
Oh, we're going to have to ask her about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we may bring that up and ask her if she's still scarred by that. Like literally and mentally.
If she can't have a cactus in her house because of it.
Exactly. That is tomorrow, by the way, here on the show. Come on back for Thursday. Wendy will be here, Therapy Thursday, and the usual Thursday business as we round out this week and get close to me going away. A reminder, there are no TMSs Monday through Thursday next week. I will be in Mexico. Brian will be catching up on life, doing things in the morning he can't do normally.
Yeah, actually, it'll be a big Coverville, you know, working on Coverville week, the website. Which is slowly getting built back up to where it was before everything happened last week, before the theme broke.
Yeah, so it's all good. Take some time off, but we'll be here tomorrow, two shows tomorrow, and everything will be fine. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can link to all sorts of things, including our Patreon there, patreon.com/TMS, if you want to go there directly and support the show in various ways. That will help us become the thing that you want us to be. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. 801-471-0462. Get you our voicemail. And if you'd like to find us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. Again, Coverville today at 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Pink Floyd.
Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Pinkest of Floyds. Are you going to do anything that's like post... Who's the singer that left and then they came?
Roger Waters.
Roger Waters.
They'll be covers. They'll be, you know, I can't just do a Pink Floyd show and not do some Roger Waters fronted songs. So there will be that. But... you know what you will hear?
Mm.
A rare cover by, let me pull up the list here, a rare cover by a band called, where is it? Joker's Wild. So it was a band called Joker's Wild back in, I want to say the 60s, which featured an uncredited David Gilmour. And they do covers of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. So you will hear a very rare David Gilmour cover.
I like David Gilmour.
Yes.
He's
the man.
Yeah, he's great. Learning to Fly, still underrated. Mm-hmm. I like that song a lot. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get out of here then. Let's, speaking of music, play a little bit. How about that?
Sure. It's funny, we brought up Learning to Fly. How about a song called Expecting to Fly?
Okay.
This is a request from our good homie buddy, Iceworm, who says, "Hello, Sick Muse and Black Sheep. Both are Metric songs, yo. I got to see Metric back in February, and it was awesome. I even got a handshake from Emily Haynes. Could you please play their cover of Buffalo Springfield's Expecting to Fly? If that's not possible, you can play something about chicken and or bacon and or ranches. No. Take care, homies."
All right.
"The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch."
There you go, buddy.
Very good. And thank you for all that you do, Mike. We absolutely appreciate it. Right. This is from an iTunes session from 2011. It is Metric covering Buffalo Springfield's Expecting to Fly.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back.
Stood on the edge of your feather, expecting to fly, while I left I wondered whether I should wave goodbye, knowing that you'd go. The summer, it was healing. We had said goodbye. All the years we spent with feeling ended with a cry. Babe, ended with a cry. Tried so hard to stand as I stumbled and fell to the ground. So hard to laugh as I fumbled and reached for the love.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You're guilty. Guilty or not guilty.
All right.
Mm-hmm.